Blog Talk Radio.
I ain't got nothing but three things to say about that.
Welcome to Loving the Skin You're In Radio. I'm your host, Andrea Amador, best known as the Juicy Woman. Today is July 10th, 2013. As a certified empowerment coach, author, speaker, and body image self-esteem expert, and curvy and confident woman, I'm here to share my expertise with you and teach you how to bust out of body shame so that you can love the skin you're in. What's that mean to you? It's all about helping you to change your perspective, the way you see things. In this case, I want to encourage curvy women to see themselves as beautiful, fabulous, and capable. Because living in our thin is in society, all too many times, curvy gals end up feeling like they have to apologize for their bodies. And this show is the antidote to that kind of thinking. Want to know more about how to change your thoughts and see what's coming next on the show? Just visit my Facebook page at facebook.com/thejuicywoman and click on like to join the group. You can also get tips and more by following me on Twitter at thejuicywoman. And if you missed any of the episodes of the show, you can catch all the archived audios for it at blogtalkradio.com/the-juicy-woman. You know, back when I was writing my book, Loving the Skin You're In, I learned about a TV show that rocked my world and gave me a fresh insight into how I saw my body. And for a really long time, ever since probably about three months or so ago, it really, really clicked for me. Because probably you remember the interview that I did with special guest Kelly Park. She appeared on the show just about three or so weeks ago. She was a contributor in the show How to Look Good Naked. And it was so incredibly meaningful to me when she shared her story of how she overcame years and years. I think it was 5 years that she had spent distant from her husband because she believed that her body wasn't beautiful any longer in its pregnancy state. And even past the point of pregnancy, when she had gained 90 pounds, she decided to just continue sleeping with her baby girl for 5 years. And for 5 years, one night after another, she came up with an excuse why she and her husband, John, couldn't make love. And so she held him arm's distance for 5 long years because in her heart she believed that something was wrong with her new mommy-shaped curvy body. She thought that she wasn't okay. And when I first heard that story, it was so unbelievable to me. It reached out to me and spoke to me because for many, many years, I was doing the similar thing with my own husband. During my dieting years, I was so uncomfortable with my body. I sabotaged our relationship by when it was time to, you know, make love and be intimate with one another. I'd find myself, you know, eating a pint of ice cream before bed. And then, oh, man, if you've eaten a pint of ice cream, you know that that is not a pretty thing. You're gassy and you're bloated and you're just feeling really raunchy and nasty. And it took me a while to realize that what I was actually doing was I was distancing myself from my husband Angel for the reason that it didn't feel safe to me to be loved. So what I was doing was I was rejecting him before or because of the fact that I was deathly afraid he would reject me. Do you ever do stuff like that? I'd love to hear from you. The call-in number is 760-888-5736. Today, I want to talk about rejection and the way that we feel about our bodies. Because when I go back and I say that I was deeply, deeply touched and moved by Kelly's story, and that created an internal shift with me in terms of switching me to feeling that I was fabulous and beautiful at a size 18, 20, and as opposed to back in the day when I was like a size 6 or whatever it was, I hated my body. So I saw myself moved in such a way that I felt tremendously empowered, recognizing that I was beautiful at that size for a long time. But as I've also shared with you over the past few weeks and months, personally, my personal pot has gotten stirred, and I found myself overeating and just getting really fat because of the fact that I've been mourning a loss, and it has become raw and real and deeply painful. And that's the fact that I'm estranged and distant from my dad, who I will probably always love. Wow. So what was happening with me for the past several months or so was I found myself eating like totally insanely out of control, where I would be having 2 chocolate cake crunch friendly bars, 1 in either hand, and like having one and having the other, you know, waiting in abeyance, and then cracking that open and eating that. And then I'd go to the chocolate-covered jellies in the cabinet, and then the potato chips, all of the foods that had found their peace in me, all of the voices, the internal voices that had found their sense of peace, all of a sudden woke back up again with this screaming vengeance that was pushing me in this insane way to eat like totally, insanely out of control. So today, I want to share with you from my deepest heart what's been going on with me. And it has been an incredible struggle. From the time that I finished writing the book, which was May of 2012, to now, my body has shaped and shifted. And it shaped and shifted in such a way that I am bigger now. And I have been feeling so deeply conflicted with my message. My message is loving the skin you're in. My message is all about loving your body exactly as it is, at the size you are. And yet, I feel like a big, fat, freaking fraud because I've been struggling with feeling fat. I hate being fat. And I'm here in front of you today with my signature message, which is to be comfortable and love your body, no matter what size it is, to love yourself. And I've just got to tell you the truth that lately I've just been having the toughest time with my own message. Because I've seen my body change, and it just feels like it's not even my freaking body. I feel like a liar. So I'm being so super duper vulnerable with you today to show you the possibilities of how good you can feel, even though right now you may be disgusted and uncomfortable in your body, like I have. My go-to is emotional freedom technique, and we've talked about this before, and this is something that I use whenever I find myself losing ground, whenever I find myself, shaking in my shoes, scared to death, terrified that I'm unlovable and nobody will want me. And all of those fear emotions that come up in us, the deepest of shame, when that comes up, I use the emotional freedom technique to deal with the pain that I feel because it's raw and it's real. And I'm here to tell you that your relationship with your body, it's not something that you can just kind of target and say, yeah, baby, I love myself forever. It doesn't work that way. Here I am at 50 years old, and I'm noticing and I'm seeing changes in my body, in my, not just in my body, in the fact that I'm aging, and all these things are changing. My face is changing. My skin is changing. You guys, the show is not just about me. I'm sharing my experience with you to give you an opportunity to open a conversation. The call-in number for you to share with me, to call in, is 760-888-5736. This is not the Andrea Hour. This is for you to have an opportunity to talk with me and to share with me. And today's show is about using the emotional freedom technique to create a bulletproof way of being rejection free. I want you to be able to know that when you get caught up in a loop of wanting and needing other people's approval, and you feel rejected and hurt and judged because you don't get the love that you need from others, because you're not getting the love that you need from yourself, wouldn't you like to know how you can break free of those old chains and just let go of wanting and needing and feeling so desperate for outside acceptance? I'm going to be teaching you how to use a simple stress relief process called emotional freedom technique to love yourself in the face of any rejection. So I want to tell you a little bit. Before I go ahead and do that, I want to tell you a little bit about what's gone on with me for the past week and some of the changes that are going to be going on with the Juicy Woman and places where you'll see me, and how my message affects you. My message affects you because of the fact that as a fat woman, curvy woman, whatever you want to call it, it just don't matter. As a woman who struggled with my weight for most of my life and who struggled with emotional eating, I am realizing and I'm sharing with you that this is all a process. You're going to go up and you're going to go down the hill and up the hill and down the hill and up the hill and down the hill. And I can't actually offer you a roller skate. I can't offer you a rollerblade slide to where you want to be. Around this time last year, I had a conversation with Dr. Linda Bacon. And you can go into the archives and you can actually listen to not that conversation, but another conversation, an interview that I did with her for Blog Talk Radio. But I will share with you the content of our conversation prior. Dr. Bacon shared so many of the things that she shared in the Blog Talk Radio interview. And at the time, I was so blown away, as I am now. I think that she rocks. And it was so touching to me what she was teaching about the Health at Every Size movement, how people could change the way that they see themselves by recognizing that they truly can be healthy at every size. After the call, after Dr. Linda and I ended our conversation, I emailed her and I asked her if she would be interested in participating in, wow, what was then called the Losing Weight Without Dieting program, promoting that. I wanted to ask her if she would be interested in promoting that with me.
Wow.
I wasn't quite prepared for her response. She wrote back and she said, Andrea, she said, you know, I love what you do and I think that you have such an incredible heart and you share from your soul. But she said, I'm deeply concerned that there's a disconnect in your message, that you personally are struggling with the myopia. I think that's the word that she used, which means that a blinder that I was unable to recognize, that I was struggling with a myopia and a bias, and that my personal message in my book and also in everything that I was doing was leading my clients and my readers to an end goal of losing weight. And she said, nothing personal, but I want you to understand that that's not my direction. That's not the philosophy behind health at every size. And I would absolutely, she would never have anything to do with anything that is promoting weight loss. She mentioned that she felt that what I was doing was I was creating false hopes in people and giving them the tools to, in a way, feel ashamed of themselves because my message was promoting that they should lose weight and that they'd be okay if they lost weight. And at first, when I got her response, I was blinded by rage. I couldn't believe it. I felt so deeply rejected because I didn't see the loving intention behind what she was saying. And between the time that I saw her response and I actually responded to her, maybe it was about a week or two later, it could have been earlier, I used emotional freedom technique to change the way that I saw her response so that I could take whatever grains or kernels were there existing from it and use it to find the truth in my soul. So I could dig deeper to determine, hey, is there a part of what she's saying? Is it true? Is it true? Am I leading you down a garden path telling you that the end goal for you as a curvy woman is to be thin, to be a size 5? Whatever it is, whatever you're thinking, is that true? And I searched my soul and I realized, holy crap, she was right. I didn't realize that when I wrote the book, Love in the Skin You're In, The Juicy Woman's Guide to Making Peace with Food and Friends with Your Body, that you can purchase on the juicywoman.com site, Barnes & Noble's, and Amazon, I did not realize that through that book, there was a thread, a subtle thread, of moving the reader in a direction of using the stress relief tools that I talk about for the purposes of changing their eating habits, making them crave different foods, going through a process of a natural and organic filtering so that they could get to the point of changing their eating habits and losing weight. Because at the time when I wrote that book, it still was so damned important to me to lose weight. Since then, since I have had my own personal run-in with watching my own weight go up since I finished the book, I think maybe I've gained 10 pounds or so, maybe 15 pounds. You know how you get to a point, hey guys, call me, 760-888-5736. You know how you get to a point where you see yourself as one way in your mind's eye, and no matter what happens to change, you're still stuck seeing yourself in that way until something happens, like some kind of earth-shattering event, or you get knocked on the head by a lightning bolt or something. I mean, not necessarily, but when something really big happens and it creates an internal shift and all of a sudden you go, whoa, I see. Well, that's what I'm describing has happened to me. When I realized that I was in this crisis place with feeling so newly, deeply rejected by my dad, when the wounds got ripped back open after I did the forgiveness seminar for the United Church of Spring Valley, that's when I saw a whole new level of vulnerability in me that hadn't existed since last year. And I want to share with you, my listener, that this is why it's so important for you to realize that it's you. You're the one who has to nurture yourself through every step of this process. And it doesn't matter a damn whether you choose to have an end goal of losing weight or not. I'm going to make it really clear. I'm not necessarily advocating that for you. But what I do want for you and for me is to be healthier at every size. What does that mean? Well, I'll be honest with you. I'm still exploring it myself. What I'm realizing is that the two-fisted chocolate cake crunch approach does not work. But in order to be able to move me past the incessant desire for that ice cream, to use it, to salve, to create a bomb or distance or some kind of a boundary between me and my feelings, it's not working. So what I have been doing is taking the approach to go deeper and to risk hurting more. And it has been ugly and it has been scary. And through it all, I realize that when you continue to peel back the layers of pain and hurt in experiences that you've had, and you are able to look at yourself in a more gentle and loving light, that's when that desperation for that food will begin to cease. Those chocolate cake crunch bars, they are still in my freezer. I don't think that I've had, I'm pretty sure, I haven't eaten one of them in probably about 2 to 3 weeks. They're still there, and I have absolutely no intention of removing them. In my book, I tell the story of the 9 bags of chips. And back in the day, way back in the day, when I was a teenager and I lived with my dad and my stepmother, potato chips were like one of the first things to go. When the doctor determined that I was overweight, I could not eat potato chips. But babe, that did not mean that the potato chips disappeared from the house. Rosie still had potato chips. She loved Pringles potato chips. And not only potato chips, but there was all different kinds of fabulous, delicious foods in my house, and yet I was told that I couldn't eat them. there were M&Ms and there was Dunkin' Donuts and there was all kinds of bagels. And my Nana would make this incredible pasta and Sunday gravy, all homemade. I mean, the food quotient in my house was insane. Yet, I grew up believing that I could not eat these foods, that eating these foods would make me F-A-T. You know what I'm talking about, fat and ugly. I was continually told that and given that message. And then when I made the decision to stop dieting back in 2006, the very, very first thing that came back into my house, because I was terrified to have potato chips around when I was a dieter, because, man, as soon as I opened the bag, I would go from one to none. I'm talking about licking the salt off of the bottom of the bag, of like a 6 or 9 inch bag, gone, just totally gone, like a lawnmower, going straight down for it. And when I learned about the process of intuitive eating and eating in response to the eating in response to paying attention to the hunger cues in your body, and I was encouraged to welcome back all of the foods that I was so terrified to have in my house during my dieting years, I went out and bought like 9 bags of chips. Lay's potato chips, Frito corn chips, oh my gosh, Garden of Eden chips. I can't even think of all of them, fried, baked, just every type of chip and corn chip and Frito, Cheeto, Dorito, all of them, every single one of them. And at first, I ate them. I would pop into that cabinet. Every single time I walked past that kitchen cabinet, I would open it and I would have a chip. Hell, who was I kidding? I would have a handful of chips. Between meals, breakfast, it did not matter. With every meal, I started eating chips. Sometimes instead of the meal, I would have the chips, a plate of chips. Then that started to slow down a little bit, and I started to just want them less. I remember there was this one day when I took a chip out of a bag and I tasted it, and for the first time, I think maybe it was like a week, maybe 2 weeks into the process of paying attention to my hunger and using the mindful and gentle eating process that I teach in my book, I took a bite of the chip and it was nasty. It was disgusting. It was rancid. You know, when the oil in the chip goes bad, and I actually lifted it up out of my mouth and threw it away. Unheard of. Never, ever, ever would I have done that before. Never would I have pulled food out of my mouth and thought to myself, ooh, that's not good enough to eat. Because I grew up in such an atmosphere of deprivation, of this constant wanting and yearning and lusting after food, I didn't really have a realistic perception of the taste of the food that I was lusting after. And it's my guess that you don't either. Come on, call me. My number is 760-888-5736. So what I wanted to share with you is that experience began to shape a new way of thinking about food for me. And it got me, the intuitive eating, it got me to a place where I would get so, so picky about the foods that I would eat. And at some point, I had those 9 bags of chips in the house, and I stopped eating them just because they weren't like doing it for me anymore. Soon after the rancid chip incident, I started noticing other distinctions that I hadn't had prior when I was just like a chip hound. I started noticing like, ooh, I didn't like the texture of the salt, or the chip was too salty, or it was too sweet, or it was too thin, or it was too thick, it was too ridgy, it was too, it was the wrong color or shape or whatever. All of these distinctions in food that people who are normal eaters that they usually make, and that's part of their filtering criteria when they determine what they're going to eat and what they're not, all of a sudden I started to get that way, kind of like a food critic. It was so cool. And coming from a history of just feeling like I was this junkyard dog who had no sense of propriety around food, I would literally pull food out of the garbage can and eat it. I remember that I had this crazed desire to eat the fat off of steak. And during those same years when I lived with my dad and Rosie, we used to have steak a lot. And Rosie cooked it so perfectly. It was rare inside. And, oh, my God, it was fabulous. And there was steak, and there was the fat along the steak, and I absolutely loved it. But I was forbidden from eating it. I was just a kid, 13, 14, 15, whatever, and I was told, no, 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 Andrea, you don't eat that. Cut it off. Leave it to the side of your plate. You can't eat that. That's fattening. Well, let me tell you. You are not going to tell me what I can and cannot eat. So I got to be very, very slick, and I thought, I've figured out a way around this. This is what happens when people are deprived. They go to unnatural lengths to get what they want because they feel that they need it, like it's an addiction, like it's something that they can't live without, that it's something that defines them in a way. So what I would do is I would offer to clean the family's, you know, plates. I would do the dishes. Oh, good little Andrea, fabulous, yes. I would scoop out the plates. Well, first, if I could, I would be sitting there in the kitchen just trying to, like, take a whole pile of fat and stick it in my mouth and eat it. But if I couldn't, then I would put it somewhere in the garbage, which was like a kind of safe place where nothing nasty, really nasty, would be thrown on top of it, where the first opportunity I could have, I would pull it out of the garbage and eat it. Now, some of you who, you know, don't share my love for fat may be going, ew, that's disgusting. Maybe for you, it's not fat. Maybe it's brownies. Maybe it's cookies. Maybe it's pasta. Maybe it's eating the crust off of the kids' bread, where you feel like if you can't get that piece or that thing that fuels your desire, you're going to feel like something's missing. Well, what I want to tell you is that for a long time, when I was changing my eating and when I was learning about listening to my body and using the emotional freedom technique, there was a lot of silence that was going on. And the food that used to like drive me insane was no longer screaming my name. So it got to the point where I had 9 bags of chips. This is when I'm an adult. Moving back from, you know, when I was a kid, when I had those 9 bags of chips in my cabinet, and I passed them every single day, and they were lined up like soldiers. 9 of them. Andrea had 9 bags of chips. Hello. Can you imagine the kind of power that you have or that you feel to be able to know that you finally have control over the food that used to make you feel enslaved? Well, that's what was going on with me. It was this tremendous sense of pride, like, wow, look at this. Look at what I've achieved. So I've been living really comfortably in that zone of knowing that I could have all different fabulous foods around me, cookies and potato chips, and my daughter could make fresh pies and cakes, and my culinary genius, who's going to the Culinary Institute in a couple years, she could do all of this and it wouldn't scream my name. I wouldn't feel that desperate urge to eat it all. Coming from a hardcore emotional eater, there is no better reason for jumping up and shouting, yippee. And that's all good. And as I said, I lived like that for a really long time, until fairly recently when I did the forgiveness seminar. And I decided to go a step beyond and really, really look at the situation with my dad and forgive him, because I had been feeling so lost. I betray myself in my voice. I'd been feeling so lost and so needy. Sorry, still got work to do. In wanting his love. He made a lot of decisions that, we both made a lot of decisions that created a lot of pain for one another. And I didn't realize it, but I was blaming him for my misery for a very long time, when in fact I had to realize that I had participated in my own misery. Because as I teach in my book, Love in the Skin You're In, we are always teaching people how to treat us. So if I give you permission to walk all over me, you're most likely going to walk all over me. If I never take the opportunity to step up and say, no, that's not okay, I'm not okay with being paid that salary, then you're going to continue paying me a lower salary. This is deeply personal to me. But when my dad made the choice of money over me, and dissolving our relationship, it threw me for such a loop for a really, really long time. And just like those chips, I had to find a way of dealing with the pain. And for a long time, in the process of writing the book and setting my head straight and teaching women how to change the way they feel about themselves by learning about nurturing themselves, and part of that being creating boundaries in your life and learning how to say no and really being focused on self-care, I really wasn't taking care and doing my own work and looking at my own backyard of the heartache. Oh, shucks. The heartache that I still had that was so present. And the heartache didn't really show up until I decided to do the forgiveness seminar. So it popped up in that resonance with the desperation of food coming back with such a vengeance. The two-fisted chocolate cake crunch and more. And over the past few months, I've watched my body change. And I have seen myself through different eyes and realized, holy crap, what the hell is going on with me? I feel like such a fraud. I feel like such a liar. Here I am telling you, love your body. The message is out there. It's all in the curvy community, in the plus community. Love your body. You see it everywhere. And here I am teaching people how to do it. And yet in so many spots in my life, I am struggling myself right along with you. This is not easy. So today, when I went and I spoke to Emmy Aronson is a fabulous supermodel in the plus culture. She was a supermodel years ago, and she's a tremendous body love advocate, and I just love her to pieces. I think she's fabulous. When her assistant contacted me and asked me if I would be interested in speaking at her meetup in Washington Square Park, it was such an incredible honor, and I jumped at the opportunity. And today, I had the opportunity to be there. I was joined by my daughter, Kara, and we did video and camera and all sorts of cool stuff. So you'll be getting little bits and pieces through Facebook and all that. But I shared with the group what was going on for me. And as I say, there are no coincidences. There I was in Washington Square Village, a place where I had been for 2 years of my life before I took over running the family business, and I was going to NYU. And at that time, you would look at me and you'd think, man, you know, you're incredible. You have such a hot body. You look incredible. And yet, here I was, this young, very beautiful woman, and I had no sense of how amazing and stunning I was. Just like you. All along, every moment, you don't have a sense of how amazing and stunning you are. And your myopia started way back when you saw yourself gaining weight. But the truth is, every single moment, you are gorgeous. So here I was talking to these women, these young women, and telling them, hey, girls, you know, here you are. So you're in the first prime of your life. Life is amazing for you. You are gorgeous, young ladies. You are accomplished. You're moving towards doing these amazing things. Most of them were in their mid-20s or so. And I said, I want to share with you from my heart that 28 years ago, I was exactly where you are in terms of my body. I had what would be considered an incredible body, and yet I could not see it. Today, I showed up in shorts and a sleeveless top, and I told the girls, 28 years ago, when I was a size 5, I would have died to bare my thighs. You would never, ever have seen that amount of skin on me. Never. And it took years and years, 28 years later, of peeling back the onion and recognizing that I am so much more than just a body, to realize that it's now safe to be me, to just show up and be me. And as I explained to the girls, I said, you know, gals, right now I am so struggling with my message. For the past few weeks and months, I have been really having a tough time. And this is what I do. I use emotional freedom technique to carry me through the humps because of the fact that it has become such a dear friend in terms of helping me to see myself in a different light. So I'm going to give you a walkthrough in the last 16 minutes or so that we have, and this is what we did. I'm going to ask you to tap on the side of your hand where a martial artist would break a block of wood. As I talked to the women and I got a sense of the struggles and the challenges that they were facing, I told them that what I'm going to do is I'm going to take bits and pieces from what everybody tells me, and for like 3 minutes or so, we're going to say all of the negative stuff, and then for the next 2 or 3 minutes, we're going to say all of the things that we want instead, all of the choices. Because when you tap on these points, these acupressure points, as in emotional freedom technique, what you're actually doing is you're sending a calming pulse to the brain to reprogram, to change the way that you think and feel about something. So you can be feeling as scared to death, and by tapping on those points at the same time you're thinking about your fear or your sense of shame or whatever it is, it will shift. There will be a shift. So I'm just going to walk you through a little bit of a summation of what I did today with Emmy and the women. So follow along with me, and I'm really just going to ask you to tap on the side of your hand, either there or just rub on the upper part of your chest. Just rub in a clockwise or counterclockwise direction, whatever feels better. I really like to hold my chest because that stimulates all of the points and it activates that freeze, you know, the freeze response, the stress response in your brain, flight, freeze, or fright. So anyway, you are deactivating and you're reprogramming your brain to see yourself in a different way. So the next time that you run into a mirror and you freaking want to die and you hate yourself or you've overeaten or you're disgusted or your clothes aren't fitting, I want you to reach for this technique, what I'm showing you, what I'm sharing with you. So you're going to tap on the side of your hand. And as I told the girls, you want to get out the ugly. Get the ugly out. Say the unspeakable. Say the things that are true that you feel like you shouldn't be saying, okay? So here we go. I'm going to give you a culmination of what all of us said. And I want you, in your private moments, to say whatever is true for you. 3 minutes of venting and like 3 minutes of saying what you want instead. Here we go. God, I hate my body. I hate how fat I look. You're tapping on the side of your hand. Remember, the side of your hand or you're touching your chest. I hate how people might think of me because I'm fat. I feel so ashamed because I'm fat. I feel like a hypocrite and a liar, and I feel disgusting. I feel so unsafe. There are so many situations in my life where I feel so unsafe. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to feel. I don't know who to trust. I'm so young. I'm so scared. Nobody seems to believe me. Nobody seems to give me a sense that I'm somebody who matters. I don't feel like I matter. I don't feel like I matter to my family. I don't feel like anybody gives a damn or cares about me. I feel like I'm dispensable. I'm so upset. I'm so hurting. Nobody knows how much I'm hurting inside. I've lost so much weight. I've kept 70 pounds off for so long. I'm so scared. I'm so scared the weight is just going to pile back on. I feel like this fat girl that is the same one who my gym teacher said, you're fat. I'm so afraid it's just going to come piling back on. Everything I eat, I'm so afraid. I'm so scared. I hate being fat. I hate how people might think of me because I'm fat. I feel so ashamed. I never know who I can trust. It feels like there's nobody around who I can trust. I'm so scared I'll never have a relationship. I'm so scared that nobody will ever love me for the way that I am. I'm so scared because I feel so unlovable. I feel so empty inside. How can anybody ever love me the way that I am? I feel so lost. I feel so lost, and I feel so overwhelmed by all of the pain that I've experienced in my life. I'm so angry all the time. There are so many situations where I feel angry and sad and hurt. I feel like this raw, unending nerve that is always triggered, and I'm reminded of all of the fear that I've experienced for so long. I feel so unsafe, and I feel so scared, and I don't even want to be in my body. I'm so scared. Okay, so now that's putting all of the stuff out there that the women shared with me today. Now, as you continue tapping on the side of your head, side of your hand, what I want you to do is I want you to continue by saying this. All that's true, and I feel all of these things, and I still love and accept myself. I recognize that I'm a powerful woman. I recognize that I am always in the process of learning and growing and shifting and changing. And I'm starting to recognize that I'm becoming more sensitive and more aware of times when my intuition is telling me what to do and who to trust and how to love and how to feel safe being loved. I recognize that I am the infinite. I am the source, that the power of the source is me and I am it. And I am not my body. I am not this limited feeling, this fear, this constant annoying voice. This is just mental chatter that distracts me from what I really, really want in my life. I recognize that I have a choice. I recognize and I claim my right to choose happiness. Continue tapping on the side of your hand. I recognize that I can choose happiness. I can choose joy. I claim my right to find love and to feel love and to look for ways to experience love of myself, especially in places where I feel rejected. I am open to and willing to find and to see other people's rejection of me as impersonal. Maybe it really has nothing to do with me. Maybe it's all about them. Maybe there's nothing wrong with me. Maybe I'm perfect just the way I am. maybe all of this fear and all of this anger and all of this pain that I'm feeling around my body, the way that I eat, the way that I look, maybe this is this huge distraction in my life that I've set up myself. Because maybe, just like Marianne Williams' poem, maybe I've been afraid to shine my light. I am open to the possibility of shining my light and recognizing the incredible power in me and sharing what it is that I have with others and going full out in expressing myself and taking all of those impulses that I have to, you know, reach for a cigarette or to reach for food and overeat or to, you know, go shopping and burn up the credit card or all of the things that I do when I'm in stress situations, maybe those are just signals to me that those are times and opportunities that I can take to give myself an extra hug. Maybe what I'm really looking for, instead of all of those distractions, is more self-love. I am open to finding new ways of loving myself more. I am open to finding new ways of recognizing that my flaws, the things that I consider to be my flaws and my imperfections, are just proof of my amazing uniqueness. I am open to realizing that by having a choice and knowing that I could choose to be happier and to self-nurture and to take care of myself in new ways, to love and accept myself in new ways, that is what will create the new sense of opportunity. And recognize that that is my body's way, that is my soul's way of attracting the perfect people, situations, ideas, and opportunities into my life to help me to fulfill my purpose here, to bring me to a sense of perfect order so that I can shine myself, and so that I can be the amazing person that I know that I am. So for now, I choose to recognize that all of those times when my body feels the urge that it has to get out and it's unsafe and it's scary and it's not okay, that all of those times I choose to forgive myself. I choose to forgive myself and move on and just let it be. I choose to recognize that I am who I am, and that is enough for me. I choose to recognize that I have so much love in me that as I share my love with others, I can't help but get more love in return. I choose to recognize that by forgiving others who have hurt me, I only stand to benefit by finding more love for myself. I love myself. Okay, so there you have it. I want you to do this every day. This is your tapping prescription. Bye, Juicy Woman. I love you. Have an awesome, awesome week.